The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Dr. Smith, today's topic is one that is vitally important because health starts right at the very beginning of life, and that is maternal and infant health and wellness. And we're very fortunate to have with us representatives from the Maternal Infant Services Network. And we have Jacqueline Callahan, who's Director of Community Health at MISN, as they're known, and Sandy O'Brien, who is a community health worker there, and she's been there since 2016. Welcome, ladies.
Welcome.
Thank you.
It's so nice to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Maternal Infant Services Network, how it came into being, who it serves.
Sure. So MISN is actually celebrating its 30th year. We just celebrated it this past Friday. And we're a community-based organization that serves Ulster, Orange, Sullivan, Putnam, and Dutchess counties. And we have a variety of services. We're probably most well-known for our navigator services. And if you don't know, a navigator is someone who can help you find health insurance in New York State. We also have after-school programs. But what we do in Ulster and Sullivan counties is we have a community health worker program, which is funded by New York State. And we work with specifically pregnant and parenting women of high need and high risk in both counties.
And so what does, Cindy, you are the community health worker. Tell us about what role you play in helping to improve the health and wellness of pregnant women or pre-pregnant women and their infants.
Thank you for having us. My role is community health worker, and what I want to do with my clients is make sure they get in the health care for their kids. If they're pregnant, make sure they have their prenatal care, getting all the care that they need during pregnancy so they can have a healthy babies, and also educating them after having the babies, safe sleep. That's a big thing. A lot of new moms, they have no experience how to put their babies to sleep. So we as a community health worker, I want to educate the moms and getting trainings or teaching them how they can put their kids and be safe and having care for the moms to make sure they go to postpartum care after having their babies and make sure their kids have doctors as well.
And for the population that you serve, are there unique challenges that exist and that even go beyond healthcare into social determinants of health?
Definitely.
Like housing and employment, education, transportation, all of those things that affect outcomes?
Yes, we do have a lot of those challenges because housing is a big thing. But we want to do our best as a community health worker how to get those resources for those families. Unfortunately, even though if we want to go above and beyond with clients, we can't really help in certain parts, but we're doing our best. So giving them good quality, or they can get a better housing places to live for them and their kids. And that's part we sometimes we can help them and go to DSS, getting them also food and housing if they qualify.
And I know that from a previous talk that, you gave last week in one of our coalition meetings, you talked about the challenges with immigrant women and also women who are in low socioeconomic status, low income, perhaps even in poverty. what are some of the peculiar or particular rather challenges that you see with those groups?
It's really hard for them. They're new in the areas, and also the language is a big thing for those who are immigrants and those moms who just came to the United States. I do work with a lot of those families, and seeing them, they're very vulnerable, not knowing where to get those benefits. It can be hard, but I am helping them a lot with the language. Interpreter is a big thing. Accompany them to doctor's office and setting up appointments and giving the support that they need during those periods of if they're pregnant or if they have kids, enrolling their kids in schools as well.
Well, one of the programs that we offer through the Ulster County Department of Health really involves the WIC mm-hmm. program, Women, yes. Infants, and Children. And that is a grant that comes through the state, actually from the federal government, to offer supplemental nutrition to women who are also in that lower socioeconomic income bracket so that their newborns and young babies can have adequate nutrition. And of course, adequate nutrition is the basis for them thriving, both physically, intellectually, and behaviorally. So I know that our nurses have worked with the MISN organization before, and we do some cross referrals for that program.
Yes, I always making appointments, enroll. Well, I can't enroll them, but I can advocate for them, setting up the appointments, accompany meeting them a week and interpret a week. I know they do have a person who speaks Spanish, but sometimes, even though you tell them they have someone, having the relationship already with the client and make it easy, go with them. Mm-hmm. They can feel more comfortable. And also sometimes, even though I tell the parents they can qualify for WIC because the baby born here, sometimes they're a little hesitate to ask the help because they are scared from different mm-hmm. immigration or asking for any benefits can affect them. So a lot of the parents, even though I is trying to explain to them they can qualify for the benefit, they don't want it. Take the benefit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I do enroll a lot of moms in WIC.
And when we look at the county health rankings, you know, the county health rankings are basically come down to what is known as premature death. That is for individuals who die before the age of 75. And, you know, that's really, everything kind of feeds into that. But one of the other key factors is in there is low birth weight and the disparities that exist with Black, Hispanic, and low-income women. Can you talk a little bit about the why behind that?
Yeah, sure. And this, you know, so low birth weight and preterm birth are definitely considered poor outcomes for a pregnancy, not the worst, but certainly poor. And there are great disparities by race specifically and somewhat by ethnicity, not just in Ulster County and not just in the Mid-Hudson Valley, but in New York State and across the country. It's a real issue. And especially over the past, you know, even since 2010, a lot of these indicators are getting worse.
Yeah, I've noticed that in the statistics.
They are. And so why? Well, part of the why is some of what Cindy was talking about, which is social determinants of health, the things that prevent people from accessing health care the way that they need to. Sure, it's difficult if you don't have health insurance. We're very fortunate in New York State where we can get health insurance. But transportation, housing, a lot of the things Cindy was talking about, but also racism as a social determinant of health. You know, some of the, you know, statistics indicate that, you know, Black women who are college educated And the babies that they have are far worse than women of all other races who never finished high school. And even Black women who initiate prenatal care as early as possible in their first trimester often have worse health outcomes than white women who've never had any prenatal care. So the thought is that racism is a social determinant of health. It does impact the health of Black women, and also in an more implicit ways sometimes in how they're treated in the healthcare system. Yeah.
And how does that actually, racism actually manifest into care or lack thereof, or is it because of additional stressors in life? What's the linkage there?
So there is the thought that yes, absolutely, that there's stress that you know, the lived experience of racism is one that causes an incredible stress and impacts poorly on health of Black folk in America across a lot of different issues, including pregnancy. So that's the, you know, concept of epigenetics also. The other ways that it can manifest itself is implicit bias that's in the system. So, for instance, there are, when someone presents at the hospital, how are they treated, you know, at the reception desk?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we want to learn a lot more about this. I know there are a lot of other things you do. And first, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
I love the way that picture looks. Can you move it to the left just a bit? Careful on the ladder.
Really? You know I'm always careful. Let me move it just a little bit more. Uh-oh!
Let's face it, accidents happen. When life takes an unexpected turn, you want your family treated at a full-service emergency room, where you'll find physicians who are board-certified in emergency medicine.
Let's get in the car. We're going to the ER.
Oh, but we'll be waiting for hours.
Introducing the 30 Minutes or Less ER Pledge, only at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital in Poughkeepsie and Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, members of the WMC Health Network. When you arrive in either of these emergency rooms, you'll be seen by a member of the care team within 30 minutes. Expert trusted emergency care without the wait. To read the 30 Minutes or Less ER Pledge, visit wmchealth.org/ER30.
Well, that was painless.
Hey, I'm the one with the stitches.
No, I was talking about the wait.
Another way the WMC Health Network is advancing care. Here.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. You're going to be a wonderful mom. And I can't wait to be a grandpa. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. I struggled to connect with almost everyone and preferred being alone. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. In fact, I called Jim first with the news about my granddaughter, Lizzie. Hey, Jim, I'm going to be a grandfather.
Congratulations, Dave.
Hey, let's get together and celebrate.
Well, as long as you're not grilling.
My pride was my armor, but I didn't know it then. I couldn't put it into words. I was sad, was scared, I felt alone. I didn't know how to reach out, so I hid behind anger and silence. But then I decided to listen to Jim, and I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit maketheconnection.net to find out more.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guests today are Jacqueline Callahan, who's Director of Community Health at the Maternal Infant Services Network, and Cindy O'Brien, who is a community health worker at the Maternal Infant Services Network. Before the show started during the break, we were talking about some of the other ways that you help educate women who are planning pregnancy or are currently pregnant, the postpartum considerations, family, planning their family. Can you tell us how, what are some of the things that you discuss with women regarding their behaviors that may adversely impact the outcome of their pregnancy?
So when we met the client, it depends their age, because we start from the age of 14 to 48. So what can I ask then is first, what is your goal? What are you planning to have babies? Do you on birth control? what is your goal. So if they say, I want to be pregnant, so the first thing we do is find an OBGYN so they can start their prenatal. If they said, no, I'm not planning to have any babies any soon, so we want to make sure they are in birth control. Or if they already had the baby, we want to educate them, give it some space for their next baby if they're planning to have more kids. A lot of the moms, they say, okay, I don't want to have no more kids. I want to be two ties, want to have this baby. So we want to make sure that they have, the doctor has a consent to two ties after they're giving birth. Or, as I said before, make sure they're in birth control after having their babies if they want to have more kids in the future.
Right. When we work with moms, we also work with them on a lot of just the basics of having a healthy pregnancy before they get pregnant or while they are pregnant, you know, eating correctly, mm-hmm. exercising if that's possible. A lot of the
taking
moms
their vitamins.
Taking their vitamins. A lot of the moms that we work with have multiple jobs. You know, mm-hmm. it's hard to exercise. If they're smoking, we try and, you know, talk to them about stopping, ways to stop, making referrals to, you know, the appropriate help so that they could stop smoking. That's definitely important.
Well, that's certainly been connected to low birth weight babies, among other major medical problems. So that's huge for the rest of their life in terms of helping them to live a healthier life.
Yep.
And that would include like alcohol consumption, right?
Sure.
Drug prescription or illegal drug use.
Sure, yeah. And certainly for, you know, if we haven't had the chance to work with moms who have like substance use disease or opioid use disease, but if that were the case, certainly getting them in prenatal care, certainly getting them to have on mat appropriately in order that they could be, you
so
know,
that their
healthy.
Babies aren't born and addicted, which is something, unfortunately, that we are seeing at the present time because of the overuse and misuse of opioids, and that, you know, these children are being born addicted to the opiates. So that's certainly a very severe problem.
Yeah, we see that through our Department of Social Services because they... you know, they run programs for that, and we've definitely seen, you know, that being concurrent with the opioid epidemic in general.
Yeah, neonatal abstinence syndrome is definitely something, and there's, you know, in both counties, you know, there are babies who are born with that, and mm-hmm. the most important thing is that, you know, is helping mom while she's pregnant and parenting with that baby and making sure that everyone's on the medicine, you know, that they need. Mm-hmm. Because NAS positive babies do well, you know, they do well with a lot of care. So, go ahead.
Sometimes it can be a little challenging because we always give that info because some parents, some moms, you ask the question, are you smoke, do you drink, do you use any substance abuse? And they will say, not to us. They will not trust to tell you the truth. So as a community health worker, I want to still give that info. Even sometimes it's hard for them to recognize, you know, to someone who they just met. Mm-hmm. So we still want to throw that information in case or build the relationship with the client so eventually they open to you and we can help better.
Mm-hmm. So the trust building aspect of it is really important.
It's important.
It's critical. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, community health worker, one of the essential like skills and one of the really beautiful things to me about being community health worker is just an essential trust relationship and being ideally from the community that you're working with, because that makes the health education communication more effective and also just helps, you know, get rid of a lot of these barriers to mm-hmm. care that people have.
There's nothing like it, you know, a human being, you know, who's compassionate, who's there, who's, you know, you know, you can get information on a website, but it's not nearly the same as having a person.
Exactly.
Who you can build that relationship with, and not just in pregnancy and maternal care, but also in you know, in every aspect of health.
In general, with the families, because we not only work with pregnant moms, but we do work with the families, and we meet the client where they are. Mm-hmm. We're there to give it the help, not to judge.
Mm-hmm. Same thing is, you know, operative in the peer advocate system, you know, with opioid use disorder, you know, is having peers who can just be there and walk side by side with that person and provide the support they need until they reach the point themselves where they decide that they need to change their lives. Tell us a little bit about what you do around teen pregnancy, both in prevention and then working with teens who do get pregnant.
I have teens, moms, but we don't get them very often. Mm-hmm. Most of them, they're not teen. But when we get teen moms, I refer them to groups, young groups, so they can build the confidence, how they can manage, you know, what are they going through, because they're so young, they have no experience. Sometimes they can be at school, and then while, you know, they get pregnant, now they have responsibilities to work and finish whatever they're doing, continue school, be a mom at the same time. So we can refer them to a group, young moms.
And the Kingston Y has a wonderful program for teen moms. So we have made referrals there.
That's great.
It's a great program. In terms of pregnancy prevention, our program, you know, in working with moms and families, we would talk about pregnancy prevention. A different part of our organization does a lot of work actually in Newburgh in after school programs at in the high school and in the middle school that are, you know, more about creating your own life course, right, and making the right decisions, and in that way preventing pregnancy, right, by choosing and being active in the path mm-hmm. that you want,
being proactive,
correct,
empowered.
Correct.
Yeah, that's yeah. really
prevent
great.
The unwanted pregnancies, because definitely school, high school is one of the, you know, high level kids. You know, if they pass their years of high school, most likely they're not going to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of, you know, a lot of the work that Sendy does with a lot of the moms in our community, I mean, ultimately it is about empowerment. And mm-hmm. a lot of the women that we work with are coming from very difficult situations from the countries that they're coming from, and also here in Ulster County, you know, and there's situations of domestic violence and really just a lot of trauma. And so by Sendy walking with them, you know, through their pregnancy, she's able to make them see that they can achieve goals and that they can, you know, be following up on this stuff on their own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's really great. And so what do you do in terms of outreach to people so that you can get moms and families involved at the appropriate time? You know, it may be hopefully before they even get pregnant. I mean, what kind of outreach do you do, or how do people find you?
Most of the outreach to my clients is word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
That's a big thing, word of mouth. We do presentations in schools. Mm-hmm. Also radio. I've been in the La Voz radio. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, I've been getting people from that. And because we, our office is in community action, a lot of people knows, and we get a lot of
cross referrals from people.
Exactly. Yeah. And so they know how to find us.
And community actions on Lindsley Avenue, if you don't know that, in the Ponkaki section of Kingston.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. 70 Lindsley Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what is your website or phone number, contact information, so they want to get in touch with you directly?
They can contact me at 845-625-8606.
Say that again. It's one more time.
845-625-8606.
Okay.
And also they can text us. This is a cell. Mm-hmm. Some people hesitate to give us a call, they can always send us a text.
Great.
And that's how they can reach us out.
That's really wonderful. Well, once again, we are out of time. Thank you so much for great work that you're doing out there for families and for our community. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us today.
Yeah,
it really means
so
a lot.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.